Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Spinell, and today, Sunday, March 4th, we are so excited to have Jane Vincent on as our guest tonight. How are you, Jane?
I'm doing well. How are you, ladies?
Good.
We are wonderful, wonderful. Now, just to let everyone know, James wants us to, you know, keep him in check tonight, you know, make sure he doesn't talk the whole show away. But you know what? That's what the show is all about. And James, we want you to feel free to share whatever, to talk about whatever, to say what's on your mind. And we want our listeners to do the same. If you have a comment or you have a question for James, feel free to call in at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Or you can join us in the chat room, or you can email your comments and questions to illusionstudio@gmail.com. But before we get into our conversation with James, my sister Denise has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the challenge. We would like to say congratulations to the makeup team of Marc Coulier and Roy Helland on winning the Oscar Award last Sunday for achievement in makeup for the film Iron Lady. Also, we'd like to congratulate the legend Dick Smith for being presented with an honorary Oscar at the 3rd Annual Governor's Award dinner last week. And if you don't know who Dick Smith is, then please do yourself a favor and Google him and check him out online. But he is truly a legend, and I think every makeup artist should know who Dick Smith is. And lastly, the Great Makeup Show LA 2012 will be Saturday and Sunday, March 17th and 18th at the California Market Center, Saturday from 9 to 6 p.m. and Sunday from 9 to 5 p.m., located at 110 East 9th Street, and that's in Los Angeles, California. For more information, you can go to themakeupshow.com, or you can listen to our guest tonight on Beauty Talk.
I think I know a little bit about that show.
Yeah, I think you know a little bit. And you can just also give us the dates on the other shows coming up. I figured while you're here, why not, you know, we don't have to go
why
online.
Why not? It's funny because I think sometimes people forget that I'm a makeup artist because I'm always so busy with the shows and the Powder Group and On Makeup Magazine, and we now have 5 makeup shows. We're launching the Makeup Show Orlando in November, so very exciting.
I'm trying to make that one for sure.
Oh, I would love to see you there. It's shaping up to be a pretty big show. I just found out that the hotel in Orlando where we're holding rooms is already booked solid. We've had to add it another hotel block. So if you're interested in making it to the makeup show in November, then I would start looking at tickets now, because I think that our first year shows tend to be very anticipated now. And I think for so many artists, especially at the beginning of their career, the Makeup Show Orlando is a good, affordable place to travel to. And so many artists, especially in the southern market, are really looking to bring their families to the shows as well. So I'm really excited about that show.
So James, if I can't find a hotel, can I room with you?
You can room with me, but I snore.
Oh, I do too.
Good, then we're all set. You know, the nice thing about Orlando, not to get way ahead of myself and talk about the last show of the year, but the nice thing is that Orlando is such a a market for travel and tourism that
right.
hotels are very affordable, and there are so many close by. Restaurants are inexpensive. Airline tickets are inexpensive. So I think it will be, you know, it won't be a worry for people. I just think I was surprised when I checked in with the hotel and they told me that all of the rooms are already booked. So, makeup artists surprise me sometimes.
Yeah. Where's your show going to be located in Orlando?
In Orlando, it will be at the Peabody Hotel. And it's the first time that we've done a show in a hotel. And the
mm-hmm.
reason that we chose the Peabody is that we like to work in spaces that really allow our vendors to have access to the attendees and to really get to know them. We don't choose large event facilities. We did the Makeup Show Miami a few years ago, and we
mm-hmm.
went into a convention center. And although it was well attended and as busy as the New York show was the first year, it just didn't feel like us. It didn't feel like
mm-hmm.
the type of show that we bring to the table. So
right.
the Peabody has just launched a new conference area. So we'll be in there, and it will allow us to bring all of the education and vendors and parties and things that we always do for the makeup show. So I'm really excited about that. And I'll be in Orlando doing education for Crown Brush at the premiere show in June. So it will give me a chance to get to know a lot of the artists in that market.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, James. Well, first, share with us where the other shows will be. And then, why did you choose Orlando for the new show?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll start with the L.A. show is coming up next. It is now in its fourth year, and the Makeup Show L.A. is shaping up to be as large as the New York show. L.A. is a very different market than New York, and traditionally we've promoted it only in the L.A. market because there are so many makeup artists there. And what we have found with the makeup show is that they truly have become destination shows. People travel from all over the world. And with the makeup show this year, we have had to introduce 25 new booths. Amanda Ween, who oversees all of our vendors, is trying to add in more room because it's just growing and growing. So we have over 115 brands at the show this year. The regulars like Makeup Forever and Temptue and Inglot back as sponsors, along with Smashbox and Stila and Obsessive Compulsive, but also new brands like Anastasia and Yves Saint Laurent and brands that are not traditionally in beauty events and trade shows. And then we also have more education than we've ever had. We have keynotes like Sharon Galt, sponsored by Makeup Forever, and Troy Jensen, and just really some of the biggest names in the market. Sutan Amaral, whom a lot of people know as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, but he also is a celebrity makeup artist with clients like Tyra Banks. The education is just beyond belief there. Patti Dubruff, Troy Jensen, Ginny from Mayron, V. Neal giving us a first look at the Hunger Games. So the LA space really allows me to kind of push. We also have a pro resource area that will be hosted by Crystal Wright, who, as you guys know, is one of my favorites. And Crystal will be bringing in artists, art directors, agents, beauty editors, publicists, people who actually hire makeup artists and who hire out makeup artists to give artists a chance to show their portfolios and to get advice on their business materials and their portfolios that will actually lead to making money as a makeup artist, which I think is something that sometimes people forget we have to do, you know. So we have that entire new area, the pro resource area. And we also have a shooting gallery this year, which is a great opportunity for makeup artists who have not had a chance to get on set or who want to understand what they can do to improve their work on set, because Smashbox is hosting a shooting gallery where you can bring in a model, make up your model with the guidance of a celebrity makeup artist, and then shoot that model with a celebrity photographer and get feedback while they're doing the shoot. So it's a great opportunity to really look at your skills. Anyway, this is what I do. I talk forever. So that is the LA show is May 17th and 18th at the California Market Center in downtown LA. It truly is an LA show. The show after that is the Makeup Show New York. The NYC show is May 13th and 14th this year. It is on Mother's Day like it is every 4 years. I know that's hard for some people. My mom will be coming this year. She's never been to the show, so be nice to her if you see her. She is going to be joining over 8,000 makeup artists we're expecting this year in New York. Last year we had over 7. We have 2 floors now dedicated to vendors. We have 2 floors of keynotes. We have 3 days of education. We have just some of the biggest names in the business will be there with us. We have, I don't know if I mentioned it for the LA show. I think I cut myself off, but Mario Dedovanovich, I know I never say it the right way. Mario, who is Kim Kardashian's makeup artist, will be with us in LA, and it's his first keynote that he's ever done with us. And we're also looking, you know, at a lot of possibilities for New York. So that is the 13th and the 14th. Tickets are already moving. Education, we have some workshops that are almost booked for the New York show because we do have people that come in from over 30 countries to the New York show. Chicago is June 17th and 18th. Right now I only have a few things announced in education, but I'm very excited to tell you that Tia Dantzler will be one of our keynotes in Chicago. I know most of you know Tia's work with Jennifer Hudson, and she is just one of my favorite people, and I'm so excited to have her there. And that show last year was our first show in Chicago, and it was the largest show we've ever had in a first year anywhere. So the Midwest artists should be very proud of what they what they managed to make happen this year. The Makeup Show Europe will be in Berlin in September, and then the Makeup Show Orlando will be at the Peabody Hotel in November 4th and 5th, I believe, are the dates. And the reason that I chose Orlando over so many other cities was that so many Southern artists said that we needed to bring a show to the South. And I did look at Atlanta, which I'm so sorry. I've been on set all day and I'm just coughing up a storm. I did look at Atlanta, which a lot of you know is where I got my start as a makeup artist. And it's a city that I love. And I looked at Houston and Dallas and New Orleans. And what we found was that if you did not live in those markets to travel in and to stay, it was the same amount as if you were coming to New York or Chicago. And we really wanted to find a place where there was a makeup community that already existed and a hair community that already existed, but also for the artists that really needed the resource and really needed the show, they would have a less expensive place to travel to and to stay in. And it's a destination. And, you know, for a lot of our artists who are working full-time jobs and then doing makeup on the side, trying to kind of make it happen, they can convince their husbands and bring their children and, you know, come to a show where they're not paying, a few hundred dollars a night for a hotel room. And I think that was really the reason. And, you know, Orlando has so much to offer. We really will be bringing very different things to the table that we've never had access to in other cities simply because of the way that Orlando is set up and what it offers, you know, as a tourist attraction. So,
right. So, Jane, you mentioned something earlier about, you know, being a makeup artist and, you know, people forget that you're a makeup artist. I know, you know, you're an educator for the Potter Group and sometimes for Makeup Forever. So how hard is it to maintain your presence as a makeup artist since you do so much work with on the makeup show?
You know, for me, it happens very naturally. And I think the funny thing is that even my friends, you know, people like Orlando Santiago, who's like a brother who I work with all the time, didn't realize I'm not full-time at the makeup show. I actually have an agent, Kim Wilson, who was my agent at Photogenics, and I actually shoot, this week I shot 5 times on top of getting ready for the LA show. I shoot editorial. I'm a beauty editor for Love Cat magazine. Today I shot a celebrity for Us Weekly that I can't divulge yet because I'm in a non-disclosure, but I have a big celebrity clientele. I shoot a lot of editorial. For Fashion Week, I keyed 7 shows in New York for 15 designers, as well as being on Dick Page's teams for Marc Jacobs, Michael Kors, Narciso Rodriguez. So I'm very active as a makeup artist, and I love it. I do. But my real passion tends to be artist education. And one of my first mentors in the industry was Michael DeVellis, who created the Powder Group. And Michael had approached me. I had my own makeup line called Pretty Pretty for a while, and Michael approached me to do some education with him. He knew me. I had been a trainer for MAC Cosmetics, and I was part of the team that launched Stila's Education and had developed education for a number of brands. And he said, I've got this new company, and we want to do artist education outside of a brand. And at that time, really, MAC was the only brand that did the type of education that happens today. It really was really forward-thinking in that way. And so I started working with Michael, and now I'm the director of artistry for the Powder Group. We produce events all over the world, and we also have a magazine called On Makeup Magazine. And the Powder Group, really, if you look at the amount of education that happens now, what I find, and I don't think this is speaking out of turn, but what you'll find is a lot of educators that are doing their own workshops, seminars, things like that, got their start with the Powder Group. Michael really created something there that has impacted the industry. Michael also created, with Shelley Tagar and Metropolitan Events, the Makeup Show. And the Makeup Show is now the largest pro-only beauty event that happens. A little controversial, but you do have to have credentials to come to the Makeup Show. And the reason that we do that is not to be elitist, but to create an atmosphere where working makeup artists, hairstylists, photographers can come and buy makeup and get education and meet their mentors without having to deal with, you know, people that are getting their foundation matched and things like that. So
right.
That's the reason. And then 2 years ago, Michael DeVellis and the Powder Group sold the Makeup Show. So I stay on with the Makeup Show as the director of artistry and education, and I'm also still with the Powder Group and on Makeup Magazine. So I think that's where people get confused. I kind of have my hands everywhere, you know, and I do get hired by brands. Makeup Forever also confuses people because they are my biggest sponsor. And honestly, they pay a lot of money to have me do things like Fashion Week and workshops for them. And they support a lot of what I do. They're very good to me. And I also work with brands like Kevin Aucoin, sponsored me for Fashion Week, and Young Blood Cosmetics and Obsessive Compulsive sponsor so much of what I do. They're so generous. Embryo Lease is a big sponsor of mine. I've written a lot of PR stuff and programs for them. I recently just trained all of the artists and international artists from Yves Saint Laurent and Armani's brands, and I'll be working with them. So I do a lot with brands. I think it does get confusing for people because they see me so often with a brand like Makeup Forever. But, I'm really a makeup artist. I think it's funny. You know, I was on set today with this celebrity, and they said, you know, your resume is so diverse, and I really have worked with everyone from Lady Gaga to Barack Obama and everybody in between, and I just feel very lucky that I can shoot with someone like a David LaChapelle one day and then train a group of artists that are just, you know, looking for inspiration the next. I feel very lucky in the way my life has kind of developed on that path, and I feel like here I go talking again, but I just feel like I feel like it does get discouraging sometimes because, you know, I truly want people to be educated and supported and have the type of mentors that I did with people like Michael DeVellis and Crystal Wright, who really influenced my career. Crystal and Marietta Carter-Narcisse are probably two of the biggest influences with their books and their seminars. They really taught me kind of how to forge my way in this industry, and that's why I think I continue to give back and try and mentor. And my assistants go on and do very big things. People like David Mayetta, who started out assisting me and is now doing really huge things, and there's a whole list of people So I hope that it's great. I hope people see me giving back, and I hope that they then go on and give back themselves. So.
Right.
Am I talking too much?
No.
All right.
My
boyfriend would disagree with you.
I just want to go back really quickly. I just wanted to know, what were the responses like for the Makeup Show Europe that first year?
The Makeup Show Europe is a very different show. Having lived and worked, I lived in London for a long time and did back and forth between New York and London, and I've lived in Dublin and Italy. So I was familiar with the European markets, and I know that there is a very different way of thinking. And having spent a lot of time in Germany, especially, I know there's a very different way of thinking. So we went in a little differently. We did a lot of promotion. And honestly, the show was a huge success. My only issue, I would have liked more people there. We had about 2,500 makeup artists that came through the door, which is similar to what we did in New York the first year when people didn't know what it was. And
right.
The Germans are very trepidatious people. They do not jump into things very quickly like Americans do. But we did have people from over 20 countries that were there. And I think the other thing, too, is social media and the internet are still a few years behind in most of Europe and the UK. So people don't use social media. Most of the people we're meeting with don't use Twitter, don't have Facebook pages. They don't have internet at home. It's too expensive. They have a phone booth that they stand in to get wireless on their phone. It's a very different way of living. So I think the promotion was a little different. And then they also don't have credit cards. So it was just even buying tickets, people had to go to a store to buy tickets previous to the show. So it was a big success. We're coming back again this year, bigger than ever. But it definitely is room to grow and improve and kind of, I think, do what we did with the makeup show here and really become a resource for makeup artists.
Wow.
So we have one question from the chat room from Tony. She's wanting to know who the keynote speaker for the Orlando show is. And I'm not sure if you said that or not.
No, I didn't. Orlando is so far away, Tony. You're really putting me on the spot. But I can tell you right now who I'm talking to. Maurice Stein is a big mentor for me, and he always does my first year shows. So Maurice Stein will be there. He was the first person that signed on to be a vendor at the makeup show. Cinema Secrets took the very first booth. And so every year we are very lucky to have Maurice Stein every first year show we do. We also are looking to, I don't know if I should say, God, Crystal Wright is always at our shows. Michael DeVellis is always at our shows. I think that those are people that we'll definitely see there. Johnny Lavoie is someone who's always around. But then there are a few big names that are trying to make things work. And, you know, I always find, for me, a first-year show, I always like to include a Sam Fine. I always like to include a Billy B. I think that they have been in from the beginning, and they really opened up our shows. And they're such big supporters, you know, for someone at Sam's level or Billy's level to take time out of their schedule to be there with us means so much. So we're just working on it. I do have a bit of time, Tony, so I'm trying to get it figured out, but I have a few shows before that. So that's where we are right now. If you log on to themakeupshow.com, there might be a few solid announcements. But right now I'm still working on putting that all together.
Well, James, speaking of the keynote speakers, let me ask you, what do you look for or what do you consider when you're trying to come up with who you want to have as a keynote speaker? And the reason why I ask that is because I've been going to makeup trade shows for years, and the keynote speaker was always a big deal for me. Like, I was always inspired by...
Well, when are you guys going to do something for me? That's the next question.
Well, ask the question.
Well, we'll have to talk. You know, for me, it's a little different, I think, than the process that most people would probably use. We try and keep it interesting, and we try and keep it non-branded, which is usually we'll have one artist that is connected to a brand at the most. So we might have the founder of a makeup company or something like that. But really, we try to find artists that are a few different things. Someone who's inspiring in their person. Someone like a Sam or a Billy or a Joanna Schlipp who's very dynamic and engaging and inspiring. You would never say they were boring, you know. And then you have the artists, the people who want to go up there and just paint, and they don't want to talk, and they just want to show you what they do. And then you have the, you know, people who are really more career-oriented, who get up there and they really want to motivate and talk about social networking and things like that. So those are some of the things I look for. And then I try and find a balance between fashion, beauty, television, and film, someone who has celebrity clients that are interesting, someone who's doing something a little different. And I try and also balance off with someone who's very established with, on every show, someone who has been working in the industry for over 30 years in every show. I try and have women represented in every show. The entire LA show last year was dedicated to women in the industry because for me, I know some of you probably know my background is women's studies, and so it's always important to me that we address that. And then I try and have an ethnic diversity. I think that is important only because it's just important for me for artists that are just starting out to be able to see mentors that look like them. And I think I also try and balance out people who are popular with people who are working. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, you know, with this show in LA, for example, Sharon Galt is someone who has been a part of the industry for so long. And when you think of LA makeup, you think of Sharon Galt. She is a kook. She is one of my dearest friends and biggest supporters and has given me huge opportunity. And I thought, what a great thing to do to just sit down with Sharon and let people kind of into that brain, because she really is an artist and a genius and on a different wavelength than most other people, you know.
I'm so happy that you're having her in L.A., because I think it's time.
I'll be honest with you, Sharon actually was a keynote in our first show in L.A., and she was not on the schedule. Scott Barnes canceled the day of the event because he got booked on a job, and I called Sharon and said, I need a big-name makeup artist, and Billy B and Sharon both stepped in. And those are the type of friends that I have, you know. It just was – so we thought she deserved her own this year, and Makeup Forever graciously sponsored that. And then we have someone like Mario, who is very young in the industry, but his makeup – it cannot be denied that his makeup is probably the most coveted by a lot of clients. People want to look like the Kardashians, and Mario is an amazing artist and very young and very strong, who understands social media and how to kind of speak to his followers, and he is all about giving back and so generous with his time. Troy Jensen touches every celebrity you can think of, and he said to me, I don't even care if I get paid to be there, because there's not money involved in a keynote. It really is, you know, they make much more money doing makeup than they will as a keynote. And he said, I will be there. I'll clear my day. And he was there. Patty Dubroff, who some people know and some people don't, but she is one of the most gracious artists in the business. And she literally is taking her only free time in a three-month stretch with Charlize Theron to be there with us at the show, because one of the things that I'll be dealing with in LA is how do you make yourself an international artist no matter where you are? Because for those of us that are working in Baltimore or Detroit or Houston or San Francisco or, you know, Kalamazoo, you have to move beyond your space and where you are. And Patty has really managed to do that. And so she is taking her only free time to be there and kind of help other artists and give them the tools to go beyond that. And I think that's one of the other things I look for in an artist is who's inspiring. We definitely do have the artists that get up there and say, you could never do what I do. You will never be what I am. I'm a big celebrity makeup artist, you know. But then
mm-hmm.
you've got the Billy B who's up there crying and telling you, you know, if you're working at the counter at Macy's, be the best at the counter at Macy's. And or you've got your Eve Pearl or your, you know, we have so many great keynotes. But I look for a spark and I look for something special and I look for someone who wants to educate and give back and inspire. And we have been very lucky with that, you know. I also try not to be very repetitive, which gets hard because you want to bring everyone to every city so people can experience it, but there needs to be. We have so many people that follow us from city to city that I have to have some points of difference. And as well as keep a continuity. People come to a show expecting to hear a Crystal Wright or a Michael DeVellis or, you know, a David Klasfeld. And so they always have those opportunities. Again, I give very long answers. I'm sorry. But I would love to, you know, we should talk. I think I would love to do something in one of the cities with you guys and talk about your career, which I think, like mine, is very different than most artists, you know. I didn't wait to have someone call me with a job to shoot for a magazine. I couldn't sit back and do that. I kind of forged my own path, and I really feel like that's something that you two have done and mm-hmm. done really well. And I think it would be really inspiring for people to hear that. But maybe what I'll do in your keynote is have you behind a wall and people will only be able to hear your voices. They'll have to pick up phones to, like, be able to hear your keynote.
And they'll have to have their computers to...
Yeah, and I'll just talk over you the entire time, so it'll be just like this.
That's hilarious.
It's really funny, James. Really funny.
I kind of want to switch gears just a little bit.
Switch it up.
You do a little bit of everything. You know,
yes, I do.
And runway and red carpet looks. Let's talk a little bit about red carpet looks.
Let's talk about it.
Were you watching those Academy Awards last week?
Do you know what? I'll tell you something that is going to get me in a lot of trouble with my PR and my agent. I was not watching.
Oh,
I
wow.
was not in L.A. for the Academy Awards, and I did not watch them. I was booked in New York on an editorial and an advertising job. And so I'm so sorry. I found it really difficult to get out to L.A. for the one day, and I watched it after it had happened, because then, I'll be honest, I probably do about 50 interviews the next morning and following week about red carpet looks. So luckily with the internet, I can watch it after it happens. So no, I did not watch it live. I missed all of the red carpet. Unfortunately, but I did see so many looks that I loved, and so many of my friends were out there making up, you know, making those actors look beautiful, and I was really inspired this year. I mean, I'm torn. You know, honestly, as a gay person, I'm a little torn. Sometimes I like to see a little tragedy on the red carpet. You know, I think it was a little interesting before everybody had a stylist and people showed up. Like, you know, Bjork in that Marianne Pajoski dress is like... you still talk about it, or Cher and Bob Mackie, or, you know, a makeup that one of my clients was involved with, the Rose McGowan on the red carpet at the MTV Awards in the backless dress by Maya. You know, it was something you still see the don'ts of, you know, but at least they were interesting. Now I think we get very pretty makeup and very pretty girls dressed by very expensive stylists, and you don't really see people's personality so much. But I did love the makeup on the red carpet this year. I thought there were some really beautiful looks.
Which ones did you really, really like?
Oh, God. I love the red lip. I always have. If you look at my book, it's like smoky eye and red lip. Does it do anything else? I thought that the subtle red lip was really beautiful. I thought Michelle Williams did it really well. Emma Stone is probably one of my favorites ever. I just love her as an actor, and her look was perfection. It was smart and young and fresh and classic. It felt like an Academy Award. It felt like the type of look like when we look back at an Audrey Hepburn, it felt like that, you know, where people will be looking back. Viola Davis and I went to college together, so I'm always a huge fan of Viola Davis, and I love that she wore natural hair on the red carpet. I think that it spoke to so many women, and for me coming from such a mixed family, I think that there are so many little girls that grow up, you know, not seeing their hair represented in fashion magazines, and I thought for her to wear it on the red carpet was so important. You know, it was kind of one of those moments that people talked about, and her makeup, that smoky eye, was just strong and beautiful, and her arms. I was like, all right, girl, do some yoga.
No, I'm right.
Yeah. I love that look. It's funny, everyone asked me about Rooney Mara, and I loved it. I thought it was very severe and, you know, like just really present there. But I don't know. And the smoky eye, we saw so much of it. It's like, oh, a red lip. Oh, a smoky eye. I get it. But I thought they were all very well done. But Emma Stone, I thought Michelle Williams looked beautiful. I thought that Julia Armand looked beautiful. I loved her sheer skin. I thought, you know, for a woman of her age to be walking down the carpet and glowing like a 17-year-old, I thought that was a beautiful makeup. So many. Mm-hmm. There were really just so many that I loved.
That was a good for a lot of them.
I think so, too. I think, you know, it gets a little, but like I said, you know, don't, is it just gay people? Like, I was kind of like, I wish there was some, like, tragic makeup or something, like someone to spice it up a bit.
Right,
you know,
right.
I've been hearing about that nipple slip for, like, 2 weeks now. I'm like, what, did it happen? Did it not happen? I don't even care. I just wanted some drama.
Let me ask you.
They should just invite Bjork. Why don't they invite Bjork? That would be amazing.
Right. Let me ask you this question, because I know you've done quite a few different things, and it's an issue that I'm running into, you know, when you meet new artists, or, you know, and they're not necessarily artists who are just starting out. A lot of them may be artists. I've met a lot of artists that work with celebrities, like just doing like music stuff, or a lot of artists who do like red carpet stuff. And when it comes to film and television, they don't know how to make the transition. And I'm not just saying, you know, just the people who do, you know, like music artists or red carpet, but, you know, they may do print or you know, fashion, or they just may be a makeup artist who goes around town and does, like, a photo shoot here and there.
No, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But when it comes to film and TV, they don't know how to make the transition. Like, they think that the makeup, just because, you know, they do heavy, heavy makeup, that they can do that everywhere, every single time, every single face, the same thing, over, over, and over. They just beat it to death, and they kill it, and it's still not appropriate.
No, and that was one of my, wow, now you're going to get me in trouble. That was one of my only things with the Academy Awards. When you saw it on the broadcast, I think they look beautiful. When you see them on the red carpet, someone's not planning ahead. You know, I think that a makeup artist needs to be well-rounded. I think that you have got to understand what is going on with this makeup. On American Idol, I knew that they were going from shooting a music video to being on a red carpet, to being at an event where someone is 2 or 3 feet away from them, to being on a stage and performing. I deal with that with a lot of my clients, so I always think ahead, and I think what is going to be seen, what do I need to do to bring this across, and I think that's where the makeup artists that have the bridal background do very well, because honestly, bridal makeup is some of the tough you can do. I don't work a lot with real women at this point in my career. I'm very lucky. You know, I do Jillian for the Today Show. She's on camera for 7 minutes. I don't have to think about how long it's lasting or if it's being photographed. A bridal artist has to think that way. They have to think about, how does it look in person? How does it look in a professional and an amateur photograph? How does it look when it's being filmed and then watched on an HD television set? It has to last all day. It has to be, you know, they have to be able to cry in it and dance in it and sweat in it. And that you should approach every job asking yourself questions. What type of coverage do I need? What type of texture, is going to be the best for this job? What type of lighting am I working in? Am I going to be able to retouch at any point, or does this need to last for X amount of time?
Exactly.
When you think that way, I think it saves you. But no, I agree with you. I think that television and film are such different mediums for most makeup artists that it gets difficult. However, HD has made everything easier, and what you found when everyone was terrified of high definition.
Right.
I was getting hired a lot to educate artists on HD because the fashion artists did not learn a lot of the bad habits that a lot of us that were doing television learned. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
We understood what the camera would pick up and what the
mm-hmm.
naked eye saw, where
mm-hmm.
my training in stage and television was like hide it, warm it up, make it orange, make it darker,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of those tricks that we learned. So I think every artist needs to be well-rounded. I get in trouble. I think everybody should know how to airbrush. I think everybody should be aware of high definition. I think everybody should understand how to color match foundation, regardless of what medium you're in. I think you should know what's happening on the runways with eyebrows so you know what the look is for the season. I think this job is not only happening when you're doing makeup. I think you're researching and learning every day. But I think that the people that need to learn television need to learn it because there's too many hungry makeup artists that will have no problem
mm-hmm.
doing it and taking the job, you know.
And we can't, we just can't stop educating ourselves on
never,
our craft.
Never.
And the thing is, as technology changes, so should we.
Of course.
So if you don't understand, you know, the digital camera, if you don't understand high def, you have to go out there and research it because you have to understand what that camera is looking at and
yep.
what it's actually seeing and how it sees it in every
yep.
medium, whether it's, you know,
definitely.
Whatever, photography, film, you know, whatever. You have to understand that camera, what it's going to see. So when you see these photos of a Taraji Henson or someone else and they've got this bright highlight under the eye, someone wasn't there.
And who is still doing that? I don't understand why people are still using
it.
I do not understand it. Has not foundation come far enough that you don't need to put a coat
yep.
of powder under someone's eye? Buy
yep.
a shadow shield. You
yep.
know
right.
what I mean? Buy a shadow shield. Or I tell my assistants get so upset because I get so many great assistants that come to me right from school. And I hate the term assistant. The artists that work with me
yeah.
come right from school and they spend all this money learning these things and I tell them, don't set anything with powder. And I like to do foundation first. I very rarely, if ever, do an eye first. I always do foundation first. They'll say, oh, something fell. I said, it's not set. Clean it up. Like, I don't understand. If your makeup is malleable, clean it up when you're done. Why are you putting a pound and a half of powder under each eye? It just, to me, like if you read the Kevin Aucoin book in 1992 and you're still using those techniques, it's time to educate yourself. Take a class, you know.
Right. Or talk to your client. But my bigger question is, hasn't your skills come far enough that you don't have to do that anymore? You can achieve the same look
yeah.
by just doing something just a little bit.
Tap the different. Shadow off your brush. You know what I mean? Like, come on, you're killing me. I think a lot of times what happens, and I see this a lot in the LA market, and you know I live in LA and New York, so I work in both cities, and I see the difference between the artists, and I think that what happened is in LA a lot of people go to school for makeup, and you learn a technique, and if you remember when you were in school, you kind of learn everything as if it's the gospel. And you're
right.
taught that something is fact. So you go into every application approaching it like, well, this is how it is done. It is the way it is done. And I think in New York, because we traditionally haven't had those schools, we had to assist. And so I learned things from my mentors, and I learned very quickly what I wanted to take into my own application and what I didn't. I think another area that we see that in is hygiene. It's a huge issue. You know, if you work with the biggest celebrity makeup artists in the editorial world, they have no problem licking a brush or sharing a mascara wand and would not ever even think to wash their hands, you know. And you see these things on Model Mayhem all the time with people saying, like, I saw this makeup artist use the brush on two people. And it's like, I don't want to name names, but my mentors wouldn't even think to have a disposable wand. I've worked on sets where Giselle passes the mascara to Kate Moss. Kate Moss passes it to Shalom. You know, and then you put it back in the bag and you use it the next day. At a certain level, those artists that have been working forever don't think about those things. And I think that's what happened with these younger artists. They were taught a certain way, and they didn't experiment or play or keep their education going. And I think that there's a disadvantage. There's so many makeup artists now, you've got to always keep your skills, up to date.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I think as makeup artists, we have to start thinking for ourselves, because even if you watch someone do something and you think you're learning from them, sometimes, you know, you can learn something from someone and they can tell you how to do something. But I think a smarter makeup artist learn how to research things for themselves and just learn what's best for them.
Yeah, and it's not a tattoo. I mean, if you put on the liner and it doesn't look right, take it off and put it on again. You know, the job that I did today... I wish I could tell you this. There were a few challenges there, but one of them was that I had to take three sets of lashes to customize a lash that worked for her eye. And it was something she had never seen. She was like, well, why don't you just use this one? And I said, because you need length here and thickness here, and we want this shape, and so I've got to customize a lash. And I thought, how does this girl get her makeup done every day and has never seen that?
Right.
You know, or I remember being on set with an Academy Award winner for the cover of one of the top five magazines and painting the mascara on with a brush. And you would have thought that I had, you know, showed her sliced bread. She was like, I've never seen that. And I said, wow, it's funny, like when you start developing your own techniques that work for you, you also start developing a signature style. And that, to me, is what makes a celebrity makeup artist. When you start to have your own recognizable ways of doing makeup, when you can pick out a Pat McGrath or a Dick Page makeup or a Sam Fine makeup from a magazine, you know that they've reached a certain level. And I would encourage that every artist develops their own application techniques and looks, you know. I think that's the only way to really separate yourself from the pack. The other thing that you've got to do is separate yourself from your region and your race and your sex and all of those things. With Pat McGrath, no one ever thinks, oh, this is a black English woman doing this makeup. A lot of people don't know she's a woman, don't know she's black, don't know she's English. They just see her work. And I think what happens a lot of times is when you look at people's portfolios and applications, they feel very regional. And it's something Tara Young from CNN can tell you. We have this discussion all the time. I can look at the TV when I was working with CNN doing a lot of consultation for them and could tell you if it was done in LA or New York or Atlanta or DC because of the regionalisms in the application. And I know a lot of people disagree with me with this, and a lot of people say, oh, James is terrible, and he says horrible things.
And I agree, because definitely Atlanta and DC, I know exactly what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I will beat a bitch to the ground in Atlanta to get that small angled eyebrow brush out of their hand. You know, I got written up at MAC. I got written up by Simone Kim, if she's listening, at MAC 16 years ago at Phipps Plaza, when that was the only MAC in the South.
Because
I said, I said to the girls at a meeting, I said, you have to stop wearing chestnut pencil with... freeze, and you have to stop wearing, you know, that eyebrow, because it's just not modern. And they were like, you would have thought I, you know, call them names or something. It was crazy. But for me, I think it's our job as a makeup artist to keep our makeup modern. At the same time, Michael DeVellis or my agent could pick my makeup out of a lineup. You know, there are definitely consistencies in my makeup. I probably use that makeup forever peach flash color on every cheek I do. You know, I have a very specific mascara and cheek application that I like. But I think you've got to go beyond your limitations. You know, when people see my work, I don't think they expect this fat ball tattooed guy to come and be there, because even though I do very rock and roll and very, you know, over the top stuff, what I really get paid to do and what I'm really known for is very soft, very beautiful, very modern makeup. And those are the type of clients that I will work with the Halle Berrys, the Reese Witherspoons, the very soft, pretty, you know, makeups are what I love to do, and that's, I don't know. So I think, yeah, stop. You know, I can't tell you how many people limit themselves on their own, you know?
Right.
And it just bothers me where people will say, well, this is what I learned and this is what I do. And I'm like, God, just educate, buy a book, you know, watch a YouTube video, take a class and see what everyone else is doing and then dismiss it. Maybe your way is the right way, but you
right.
cannot stop learning, you know? I'm going to get in trouble after this radio show again, I think.
Yeah, you are. So.
Oh, God, everybody's going to be on that chat line. James Vincent is a fat, sexist, racist. That's what they're going to say.
Listen, guys, I have two callers on the line.
Okay.
So I want to get both of them. First one is from the 310 area code, and then I'll get to the other one, which is from the, well, actually, two more just popped up. So we're going to try to get to all the callers really quickly. Let's see.
Okay. Where's 310?
It's in California. Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
Is this LaQuana?
No, this is Desiree Stovall.
Oh, my God, I knew I recognized your voice. Hello, Desiree.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good. You guys, this is Desiree Stovall. She is in New Orleans now, and she is from L.A., and she's an amazing makeup artist with a background in TV.
Sweet.
You sound familiar.
I contacted you guys before because I know you guys are in Atlanta and I grew up out there, so I'm, like, right next door to you guys. But I was calling in to say how amazing James is as a key artist. When you assist him, he is so giving. And he's the first artist I have actually ever assisted, because usually when I do films or anything else, I'm the key makeup artist. And I just wasn't expecting such a giving spirit. And he's an amazing artist. And I just couldn't believe how beautiful he was. You know?
Well, I'm sending you your $5 right now, Desiree. Thank you. No, but I think Desiree, you know, and the big thing is, and I think this is what we were saying earlier, Desiree came from film, and she said, I want to do some stuff in fashion. And to go from being a key and a head, you know, department head to mm-hmm. standing next to me at a fashion show and taking direction mm-hmm. is not easy on an ego. And I think it speaks a lot for an artist to say, I'm taking on new challenges. And I love Desiree, I love you, you know that. She stands next to me in every city. She travels all over with me. And she's one of my favorite people. And we met at Evolution. She did Evolution, which is a week-long artist retreat that we do. And she blew me away. I mean, you're so sweet to call. And I'll send you $5.
I have to support my babe. So I just wanted to call in and share that with everybody, because it's, you know, sometimes you have these artists who feel that they are bigger than themselves and will not mm-hmm. take the time out to respond to you or to even give you the time of day to allow you to assist them to learn. And he's not that guy. He's not
Aww.
That artist, you know. And so I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, babe.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your call.
Of course, of course.
I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Of course. I'll be in touch.
Thank you, honey.
Bye.
Oh, so sweet, and she's so talented. That means so much.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Am I next?
Yes, yeah. Okay, this is Viola.
Viola, it's old home week here on Beauty Talk.
Oh,
all my favorite kids are calling in.
Oh,
it's like
happy
a roast
Sunday, y'all.
On my wake.
Yeah, happy Sunday to all of you. But
hi,
again,
hi,
I want to
you?
Do the same thing with Desiree. You are amazing, James. I mean, you're old school. You know, you're old school where I come from. And I respect that to the fullest. Don't change, don't change, don't change. These kids today need to hear that.
They need to
I'm going to beat it into them.
Saying.
Spare the rod, spoil the child when it comes to makeup, I say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I love it. I love it like I'm still learning. And you just inspired me just with your words. It was words of wisdom and words of knowledge. And don't change. The only thing you're going to change is what Denise and the Tunnel Sisters just said, that upgrade your skills to technology. That's about it. But as for your ways, don't change. I mean, you're a beautiful person. You damn talented. I mean, I love it. I love everything you're doing, your approach to the beauty industry. And
thank
that's what so many artists of today is missing, not being humble. And I think the more humble you are, the more they can maintain their clientele base.
Thank you. Again, you are such a voice in this community, and I appreciate your support. And I can't wait. I'm going to see you at the Makeup Show Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for everything that you do, because you bring artistry and education with everything you do, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate all of you, too, as well. So keep inspiring us, and Illusion Beauty, the same thing. Keep inspiring all of us. I mean, we need this, and every Sunday is really, really good thing, because as a mother, you know, I always sacrifice my work on based on around my child. So many artists always tell me, Viola, how come you didn't go off after this job? And I always tell them, well, I'm a mother full time. So the things what I do sacrifice is just maintaining and never let go of my craft. So again, between you, Jane, yourself, what's his name, Jeremy and Michael, you guys are amazing men.
I love you. Thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Viola.
Have a good night, hon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let me just bring up this one point. Viola said something about being old school, and yes, we love old school. But one thing, a lot of old school artists who are out there and they may not be working, one thing we need to just keep in mind, you know, we can continue to have the same ways, and we can continue to, like, change with technology and everything else. But that changing with technology and keeping our skills up to date, and something you said, James, about I think you mentioned something about magazines. Maybe you didn't say that. I'm not sure. About, you know, researching and looking at magazines and tears and stuff like that. But there's something that, as artists who've been around for a while, there's something that we really need to do, and that's to really make sure we study our craft and make sure our skills are kept up to date. Like you said, look to the runway for different outlooks and things like that, because we can't continue to do the same old, same old, the same way we used to beat with all that heavy powder. We can't continue to do that and think we're going to get the job, because we're not.
They're not. And when you look at a portfolio and you see a face full of studio fix and an eyebrow that could cut you, you don't want to hire that person. And I think it's also staying modern in who you are. I'm 38 years old. You know, I'm not embarrassed to say that. I'm up against jobs with 23-year-olds. So I have to know what's happening on the runway, on the red carpet, on the street. It's not just reading magazines. It's knowing where trend is going. It's knowing where designers are going. It's understanding art and color theory and lighting and the latest camera technology and all of those things. Even little stupid things like I'm not a TV person. I don't watch a lot of television, but you know what I do when I'm working on a set and I hear people talking about a certain TV show or something, I watch a little bit of it or know enough about it that I can have that conversation. I take my lead from the photographer. When I'm working with a photographer that wears a button-down shirt and is more conservative, I might dress more conservatively, because it's about having manners and making people feel comfortable and working in the networking and the personality and bringing your skill set up. You know, if I went on looking crazy rock and roll like I am to every set, I might not get every job. And so I've got to always put my best foot forward in my art and in everything else. And I appreciate you guys, because I think you've given a voice to so many artists and inspire artists and bring it to a different level by connecting artists from all over the place. And I think it is important. I get so inspired just speaking to you, and I'm all charged up now. But keep educating yourself, you know.
Yeah.
It's so important. And if you don't really understand how important it is, just, you know, keep working long enough and start working with artists that are, you know, either younger than you or who have only been in the business a few years, and look at what they're doing. And sometimes they're doing something that's fabulous. And sometimes they're doing something that's so wrong that you just, you know, sometimes I feel like shaking some of these artists and just say, pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. I had to send an artist home during Fashion Week from the Gen Art show, and I probably had about 312 people, I think Jeremy said, that had sent messages about assisting me for Fashion Week for 15 designers. And I had to choose, you know, a certain amount of people, and my sponsors also give me a certain number of artists. And I had to send a girl home because she was texting on her phone the entire time and talking on her phone, and she showed up late. And while I was doing my demonstration, she wasn't paying attention. They had to correct her makeup. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't use you for the rest of the shows. And then I thought about the 311 other makeup artists that wanted the opportunity. And it killed me. You know, it just is like, put your best foot forward all the time. You know, you've always got to keep working and keep pushing and learning. I just think it's so important that to give 100% with everything you do, you know.
And not just that, you're at Fashion Week, for God's sake. What do you want to look at your phone for?
I know, that's what I said. I didn't think she spoke English at first. I was like, is she not understanding? And if you guys know Bethany Towns, who is Bethany Beauty Mark Towns, my right hand, I call her Baltimore, because she brings it. She keeps everybody in line, and she is an amazing makeup artist in her own right that is always at my side, and Francisco and Abby that work with me. And Bethany just does not put up with it. You know, she understands. It basically comes down to me and my name and my reputation, and she let this girl know, you know, what it was in a firm and gentle way like she has. And I thought, God, you know, like, if they could all see how Bethany has worked to have the career that she has, you know, it's been amazing. And I thought, that's the type of person you want at your side, the person who gives their all as if it's for themselves. And this girl was sitting at a fat, like, on TV cameras texting. I thought, put your phone down. The world is going on around you.
Right.
You know, Facebook will be there later.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's not that, first of all.
I'm sorry?
I said it's not professional, first of all, but I can go on all night about that, but I won't.
Me too, honey. I tried to tell them about when I first moved to New York, there you had to go to a payphone and call your answering service and see if you had a job the next day. You know, there was no cell phone. But at the same time, when you went someplace, you talked to people. You had social skills. You know, I sat at a bar the other night with my 21-year-old cousin, and I said, everybody just has their phone. People were, like, checking out to see if the people around them were also on their phone, you know. And I thought, put your phone down and talk, engage each other. And those are the skills. I think that's why so many of the older makeup artists are still working. We have the skill, and we bring it, you know.
Absolutely. I have two more callers. I'm going to try to slip
okay.
them in really quickly.
Perfect.
Before this show ends. Let's see, someone from the 912 area, folks. Hello? Like
hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, James.
Hi, honey. Yes. Who is this?
This is Frances.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
I am well. I just wanted to call in and say that I love you and I so appreciate you. And the twins, you guys know how I feel about you already. But thank you so much for providing a platform for education.
Oh, honey, you're so sweet.
Learning and growing artists, you know, from an area where there is no market, you know, I was able to get on a plane and go to Miami in 2008 for my first makeup show. And then my second was New York last.
Hello?
Did you hear
the second? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, did Francis get dropped?
Probably. Maybe she lost the call.
Maybe she hung up because she's on her way to the makeup show. She couldn't wait any longer. She said, "I gotta go. We gotta get to that makeup show."
Okay,
she's walking to LA.
Okay, the next caller is from the 504 area code. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. My name's Maria Beretta, makeup artist from New Orleans.
Maria, it is like, I feel like this is my funeral service or something.
No,
I know everyone that's calling in.
I know I hear a lot of the beauty makers and beauty shakers that I've met and that I just get so inspired from all the time. And James, honestly, I call really just to tell you that, you know, that you're amazing and that I really, really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be able to, likewise, like Desiree, work with you at the makeup show and also at the Fashion Week.
Well, honey, this is Maria B. for you guys that don't recognize her last name. And I met Maria at a makeup show, and she was there to have some fun and shop, and she said, "I want to assist you, and I want to expand, and I'm a mom, and I've got all of these things going on." I said, "All right, you're in." And she flew herself to Miami. She put herself up. She worked for free. She worked harder than I would ever expect anyone to work, you know, doing any task that I asked. And she's an amazing makeup artist and person and blogger, and you should follow her. And it means so much that all of these women are calling in, because these are the women that I look to and I say, how do they do it all? You know, in so many ways, my life is so easy. I feel like it's easier for male makeup artists. I feel like it's easy because I don't have a family that I support. I have a family that I support, but not children. You know, and you guys astound me as artists and as women, and, you know, it just means so much that you would take time out and call me when I know how busy you are. And I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you so much for even saying that. You know, it is quite a job juggling everything. But, of course, I mean, you stay really busy, too, juggling everything in your life. So, I mean, I think it kind of equals out, though, at the same time. But I also would like to really, really thank you, because you really gave me a reality check at the Makeup Show Chicago. When I was super nice, we were keeping time on your, what was it? The makeup kit that you do?
Yep.
And you made me come home literally and revamp and, I mean, consolidate was not even the word for what I came home with.
Thank you, babe. My makeup kit seminar is very popular, and we're doing it in New York this year. It's going to be me, Orlando Santiago, John Hennessy, and Danessa Myricks and Esterique, all talking about our kits. But it's funny because my kit seminar and the kit class that I do for the powder group is so popular, and really I carry the smallest kit, and I can do everything with it. And on one of the shows I did this season, Mark by Mark Jacobs for Dick Page, the artist standing next to me looked at my kit, and I was like, I had forgotten a towel because I did 3 shows in 1 day, so I like was putting down paper towel. And he let me borrow a towel, and he said, you really should start thinking more professionally when you put your kit together. And I was like, oh, I just totally got called out. But no, that means a lot, because I feel like my kit seminar is probably like one of my favorite things to do, and I appreciate your saying that. You should all take it. Email Jeremy at the Powder Group and tell him that he needs to put a kit seminar on the schedule.
Yes, it's a must, I would say. Definitely.
Thank you, babe. You're so sweet.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
Good night. Oh, my God. I really think that's going to be like, you know, when you picture your own funeral. Or was that just my, like, dramatic teenage years? Like, when everyone's crying, saying stuff about you, everybody will just be like, James was a great makeup teacher. I'm like, oh, that means so much.
You're funny.
Mm-hmm. Are there other questions?
Actually, we are like about 10 minutes over.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, I hope everyone will come to the makeup show. in LA. For more information, you can go to www.themakeupshow.com. Tickets are moving really quickly. Education is booking up. If you have any questions, you know, you can always email me directly, James at the makeup show or info at the makeup show, and someone will get to it if it's not me. Because I actually leave the country in a few days. So.
Oh. Well, we also like to invite everyone that listened tonight to join us for a few minutes over on the Beauty Talk with Illusions Facebook page, where we always chat after the show for a few minutes. We talk about the guests, you know, we say, how did you like the show? Did you think he talked too much? You know, all that.
Uh-oh, should I won't read it then. Wait, am I going to be there?
If you want to join us, sure.
Yeah, I'll join you. I didn't want people, you can say bad stuff about me too. I'm thick skinned.
No, it's always good stuff. Everyone, I've been reading the messages in the chat room, and the phone lines were full. Everyone was listening by phone, listening online, and then in the chat room, everyone has so many good things to say, and you're very inspiring, I believe.
Thank you. Yeah. You two ladies inspire me so much. Two such gorgeous women who just give so much to this art community and inspire people everywhere. And it means so much to me that you ask me to be here when there are so many other people available to speak. I just can't tell you. I'm getting choked up. I appreciate you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Thank
you so much. And we really appreciate you too, James. And
thank
you. We also want to say too that those people who are listening and the people who follow us every Sunday and support us, we thank you all so much for joining us Sunday after Sunday. We know there's other things you could be doing, but we really appreciate the fact that you appreciate what we're doing. And, you know, we love to know that you appreciate what we're doing because, you know, sometimes it's hard to book guests. You know, there are a lot of working artists. People could have other things they could do. But, you know, when we bring people on, we really like to know that you guys appreciate it and love it. And so we always welcome your ideas, your comments, and your thoughts. When we first started this, it was just something fun. We didn't realize it was going to turn into something big. We didn't realize so many people would be inspired and lifted. And we're just thankful for it. So we just really appreciate the guests that we bring on, and we appreciate those who listen to us Sunday after Sunday. Those who retweet our messages, who, you know, when we say James is coming on and you retweet, believe me, we appreciate that. So thank you so much, because without you guys, the show wouldn't be what it is. So we appreciate that. And with that, I'm just going to say good night. Everyone, be beautiful, be blessed, and have such a wonderful, wonderful week.
Good night, ladies. Thank you so much, everybody.
You're welcome. Good night.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.